Welcome to the Trade Secrets Podcast, hosted by Damon Piatek, President and CEO of Welke Customs Brokers USA. Damon is a licensed U.S. customs broker and certified customs specialist with more than 18 years' experience in the import-export customs, transportation, and logistics sectors. Each month, Trade Secrets will bring you guests in the industry to provide their insights on timely trade issues to give you an advantage in international trade. So now, let's talk trade.
Welcome to another edition of Trade Secrets. Today I have Jim Mano with us, and we're going to be talking about Port Day and giving you a recap of what happened there. That's the Port Industry Day of New York, New Jersey. Jim Mano is the board president of ITGO, the International Trade Gateway Buffalo Niagara, and he's also the VP of Sales and Marketing over at Sonwell Distribution. Jim, thanks for coming in today.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Great. So can you give us an update on what's going on with ITGO and kind of a little bit of a background on that for our listeners that may not be informed or know about what ITGO is doing in Western New York?
Sure, absolutely. So the International Trade Gateway Organization started to be formulated about six, 7 years ago, by a number of practitioners in the logistics industry, whether they are actual practitioners in the supply chain itself or service providers, attorneys, accountants, consultants, brokers, things of that nature. We were working to try to bring more freight to and through Western New York because of our close proximity to Canada, ideally to enter into that marketplace utilizing the entranceways, the ports, looking at bringing product up to Buffalo that would go into Canada or throughout the Northeast. And we were looking at how we could support that from an infrastructure and a service provider to distribute, to receive and distribute those goods. So we're working with the Port of New York, New Jersey, actually have a memo of understanding with them. We've been working through the relationships they have with the international ocean carriers and railroads, primarily CSX and Norfolk Southern. And we've come together and proposed the use of property that's contiguous to the CSX Intermodal Yard here in Western New York to bring product into a facility that would serve as a cross-dock, transloading, customs inspection, FDA inspection type of a site, with the ability to also have some storage for trailers and chassis and containers.
And this becomes important for New York, New Jersey because of what's going on with the steamships. They're getting larger. They're holding more TEUs. I think we're up to like 18,000, 20,000 TEUs on a ship. They've dredged the port, deepened the port.
Raised the bridge.
So they're doing a lot to make this happen, but they don't have the physical space down there to hold all of these containers, so they need an inland port, which is what we're trying to create with ITGO in Western New York, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so that kind of leads into the reason we go down to Port Day.
Yes, and since our relationship was struck with the port and with CSX, we've been invited down and have attended annually their briefing on what's going on with what they had proposed, what the results of that are looking like, what's still in play, and what's new on the horizon based on what they see as their needs to support the supply chain and the movement of goods into and out of the United States through the Port of New York, New Jersey.
Great, great. So we were down there last month, the end of last month, and they had a wonderful panel discussion that opened up with Dr. Beavish, Chief Economist, IHS Market, and he talked about the world trade and global economy, which was very interesting. He gave a lot of good points about what's going on. We're 10 years after the, you know, the economic downfall here. We had a recession, so the economic crisis. We're back from that. Some of the insight that he gave was household debt is up 40 to 80%. Government debt is up. Business debt is up in the United States. But some of the interesting stuff that you've also heard there on that economy. What, how does that play into what's going on with ITCO, what's going on with transportation from your point of view?
When you think about the supply chain and the origin of the goods and services that we've come as consumers to expect, used to going into the store, finding it on the shelf, price is pretty much consistent, take it home, don't worry about the quality of the product, eat it, consume it, and go out and buy some more. That whole model is in jeopardy now because of the needs of moving that product from origin, whether it's the fields in which the farmer is growing it or the plant in which it's being manufactured, to the consumer. Everything that has to do with the regulatory environments, the tariffs on trade, the absence of transportation at the capacity that it's been in the past and requires even more so going forward. So we're looking at alternatives for a lot of those, infrastructure design and development. Are we able to capture what's necessary to make the customer comfortable that what they're going to consume is for their good health-wise and not of a concern as to where it came from or how it might affect them? So all of those things are now becoming in jeopardy because businesses are experiencing a lot more debt that they've experienced in a long time trying to recover from the recession. And now all of a sudden, a lot of what they had put on their sort of platform to move forward with, their business model, is becoming a little bit skeptical, uncertain, and causing concern. And with that comes delays in decisions, sometimes missed opportunities. In many cases, that's happening today. And the opportunity to innovate it becomes very costly because you're not sure what you're trying to accomplish with what you're trying to do.
Right. And a lot of what's affecting the global market is what's going on with trade regulations, trade agreements, tariffs. I'm going to say, quote unquote, the war, the trade war with China. I don't know if it's really a trade war. But the 232 tariffs that have been imposed here, the 301 tariffs that have been imposed here, the sources that we've talked to at the port have said that they're not seeing anything slow down this year. Nothing's really been affected with imports. They're saying nothing's going to happen 2019, but they're looking ahead to 2020 before we have something slow down. And they're saying, you know, China's going to hit a bubble. They're not really going to hit a recession because they're government-owned banks. How is that going to affect, along with everything else that's going? And, you know, you could talk a little bit more about what's going on with the electronic manifest for trucking, for truck drivers. So that's kind of all playing a part in
right.
this. What, how is that affecting global trade? You know?
So let me take it from the standpoint of the cost of goods and the availability of goods. If you've got sources of goods that are going to dry up or are going to become somewhat diminished in the quantity or the capacity that they have, it's the old supply and demand.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're the only source for it, you're going to pay more for it because there's less of it to have. And you better be in before somebody else because then there won't be any for you. Having said that, with some of the tariffs that are going on now, whether they're going to be enacted or not, the impact of them is still uncertain but assured to be somewhat disruptive. With all of that, you've got companies now that are accustomed to being able to have those goods and services available to them at a price point that they've already budgeted for in a timeline that fits their supply chain needs to get it from point A to B in time for it to be the next step before it gets to the consumer or the next step after that to the consumer. All of that requires transportation. So I'm going to stay with the ELDs, transportation, truck-related issues for just a second here.
Sure.
We've experienced up here in Western New York, and we have a significant presence here, over almost 2 million square feet of warehouse and distribution space. We have our own transportation group. We have an asset-based part of our business from the transportation side. And we've been working with customers that we've set out long-term, 2 and 3, sometimes 5-year agreements on that are now all being recalled to revisit because some of what was put into the considerations for timing, costs, resources required are now being reevaluated because they may not be available or they may be more costly if they're available at all. Having said all of that, if you don't have the transportation to move the goods don't move. So in a couple of examples we've heard recently and experienced with our customers, if we have a warehouse and it is full of product and there are orders that have to be placed for it to be outbound, that leaves room for the next inbound inventory to come in. We're at that level now. Inventory of warehousing space in Western New York is at about a 3.5% vacancy rate, which in all intents and purposes is zero, because a lot of what's left isn't really usable without a lot of investment, if that's even feasible. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, when you don't have the reliability of the transportation moving the product to the next step, it stays where it is, which causes congestion, which puts a pushback on what's coming in, to the point where we've had some manufacturers have to change their production schedules, reduce the amount of product they're going to make in a given week or month, which affects all of the other elements that go into the development or production of that product, mm-hmm. ingredients, packaging, workforce, equipment, utilities, all of those things are jeopardized. Well, that's only from prior to it coming to us. Prior to coming to them, so you have this ripple effect that goes back and forward within the supply chain based on this transportation issue.
Right.
The port now is dependent on trucks coming into the port to move product out. As you've stated, the congestion has been and will continue to be more of an issue.
Right.
If you can't get the product out, it's no different than being on our warehouse and not being able to get it out. Where do you put the next product that comes in? So all of that constraint pushes back on the supply chain. Add to that the uncertainty of the cost of goods because of tariffs and other regulatory issues. Safety stock in the past used to be, I want to be protected against weather, Mother Nature, uncertainty. Well, that uncertainty now is, can I get that product, that ingredient, that packaging for when I need to manufacture or use for the next step? And if I can't, that becomes a concern. So they're buying into the future at today's costs to protect against the increase in costs, which are going to jeopardize their ability and their whole cost structure.
Right.
Well, that increases the amount of inventory that has to be put in an inventory storage capacity, mm-hmm. where there isn't any capacity now. And it's not just Western New York. It's pretty much across the country.
It's across the country. And the steamship lines, I know from my customers, the steamship lines that have negotiated door-to-door moves, so they're picking it up at the door in the manufacturer in China and they're bringing it to the door to the customer in the United States, they're trying to renegotiate those contracts because they don't have that last-mile delivery.
Right.
That last-mile delivery, because of these electronic logbooks, has changed dramatically. The move from New York, New Jersey to Buffalo used to be one day. Now we're looking at two-day delivery times. We're looking at more drivers. It's a cost, and like you said, it's a time frame that everybody has to adjust to on top of the tariffs. So during the opening panel discussion, they had the vice president of Kuehne+Nagel, William Ronnie, and they also had the chairman of the American Trucking Association, Dan Manning. They were talking about the exact same things we're talking about here, along with Robert Lagey, who is the Norfolk Southern representative. Really kind of played out. And you're right in the middle of that with Sonwell. So expand a little bit more on what's happening with the steamship lines. We know that they were talking about reduction in the number of carriers, consolidation. You're going to have less choice of steamship lines because of capacity, because of cost to operate all of those steamship lines. How do you see that playing out for your customers? Less choice, higher costs?
Less choice, higher costs, less reliability, because there's no competitive advantage that you can utilize from a leverage perspective. It's like it's the only game in town, take it or leave it, in many cases, which seems kind of harsh, but it's the realities of supply and demand, and that's what our economy is really founded on.
Mm-hmm.
So we look at it as if there are fewer, and even if the carrier population didn't shrink dramatically, there are going to be fewer ships coming into port containing as much as they had, if not more, if mm-hmm. there were multiples entries into the port right. by ships.
Right, and that's what they're calling the chunking of freight, because the capacity of the steamships is going from, you're talking maybe 5,000 or 6,000 TEUs. TEUs are 20-foot equivalents or containers, just for those who may not be aware of the abbreviation there. But now we're going from what we had mentioned earlier, from 5,000 to 18,000 to 20,000 on a ship. Hence the capacity need for the ports to get some of those containers out as quick
right.
as they can, because the next ship's coming in, They got 20,000. You know, that's four times the amount of containers. Where are they going to put them all right at once?
And you can't say like you used to be in the past, look, we've got some issues today. Can we push this off a day or two? You'll lose that opportunity completely if you can't take it when they want to bring it to you.
Great. We're going to take a little bit of a break here. We're going to go over to Charlie Goodwin. He's going to come in and talk a little bit about what's going on in the news around the world that's affecting trade. And then we will come back and finish our discussion on what's going on with the Port of New Jersey. And we'll have you give some insights into our port tour, which was very interesting. Take it away, Charlie.
This is Charlie Goodwin speaking. I'm with the International Roundtable, and I wanted to give you people an update on some of the events that have taken place during the last month, which could impact your ability to do business. Some of the items that I've noted here are as follows. The U.S. government has initiated sanctions against Turkey because it continues to hold a U.S. minister on spy charges. As a result, the Turkish embassy is floundering around and trying to find out exactly what they can do. Their lira has dropped by 40%, and they're upset with the Americans, but the Americans feel that this minister is innocent. The United Kingdom has accused two Russians of poisoning an ex-Soviet spy and his daughter while they were living in the UK. The UK is demanding sanctions, and Germany and France and the US have agreed to impose them. The European Union has agreed to postpone any import duties on U.S. goods and has agreed to negotiate with U.S. government officials in order to preserve U.S. export markets for EU member companies, member countries. This move further isolates China from both the U.S. and the European community. Let's see, going along, the U.S. Federal Reserve has increased interest rates by 0.25% in recognition of the strengthening U.S. economy. By increasing this rate, the Federal Reserve helps to control inflation here in the U.S., but it is also having a negative impact on the international stock market. Ryanair, Europe's largest low-cost air carrier, went on strike in September, leaving over 40,000 of its passengers stranded throughout Europe. The travel agency is very upset, and a lot of the travel agents are no longer booking with Ryanair. The U.S. Congress has confirmed Brett Kavanaugh as its newest U.S. Supreme Court judge. This appointment is expected to tilt the court toward the conservative persuasion and has been hotly contested by many liberals in the U.S. Senate. At least 2,000 people have been killed by an earthquake and a tsunami, which recently struck near the city of Palu in Indonesia. Over 18,000 people are now homeless, and another 5,000 are still missing. The U.S. and Canada have agreed on an updated free trade agreement between our two countries. This agreement also includes free trade with Mexico and is now referred to as USMCA. It allows these three countries to continue to further develop their $1.2 trillion in sales that they do each year on a three-way basis. Jamil Khashoggi, a journalist and critic of Saudi Arabia, has basically disappeared while visiting the Saudi Arabian embassy in Istanbul, Turkey. Everybody is concerned that he has either been kidnapped or killed, possibly by the Saudis, but the Saudis don't know anything about where he is right now. They just said he left the embassy. Right-wing conservative candidate Jair Bolsonaro has won over 46% of the Brazilian presidential vote and is expected to win the runoff election held later this month. There seems to be a significant and growing split between conservative and liberal political leadership in many countries around the world. Not only are we split here in the U.S., but in many other countries, including Great Britain, Germany, Italy, Sweden, Turkey, and Spain. We've got further polarization because the liberals and the more conservative groups just do not communicate with one another. Hurricane Michael, the largest storm that has hit the panhandle of Florida in many decades, has struck a very destructive blow throughout southern Georgia and into the Carolinas, as well as in the Florida panhandle. The International Monetary Fund Worldwide Economic Forecast has called for a small drop in world commerce from 3.9% growth to 3.7% growth due to a potential trade war. And there's been massive flooding in Honduras due to rains from Hurricane Michael, and also the strong U.S. economy is drawing more direct foreign investment from major countries, putting significant pressure on developing countries and quickly reducing the value of their currencies. These debts continue to grow for smaller developing countries, and more direct foreign investment is being drawn into the U.S. because of our strong economy. Economic growth in the Eurozone and the U.K. are predicted to grow, but only by a rate of 1.4%, and everybody is talking about potential border delays resulting between the U.K. and other EU countries. And finally, Italy is again on the brink of a financial disaster due to its new government's abandoning of austerity measures. Those are some of the items that I think if you're doing international business in those regions, you should be aware of. Wish you well. I think that the U.S. economy seems to be growing very strongly, but again, be careful where you're exporting. If you would like to contact me, Charles Goodwin, or the International Business Roundtable, you can call me at area code 585-394-1219. Or you can reach me through Welke Customs. These people work very closely with me and are my Buffalo representatives. So either way, you can reach me, and I hope that I can help anybody who gives me a call. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie, and welcome back. We're here with Jim Mano, the president of the board of ITGO, International Trade Gateway Buffalo Niagara, and the vice president of sales and marketing over at Sonwell Distribution. We're recapping the Port Industry Day at New York, New Jersey. And just to kind of throw out there a couple things, Jim, that you were like your top two or three takeaways from Port Day. And the discussions that were had there with the port and the panel.
Yeah, I think probably the takeaways were that we're all in the same boat. I mean, and literally, not a pun intended here because it's Port Day, but they're experiencing the same thing down at the port, even with all of the planned and in-place infrastructure, technology, operational norms that they have there. It's all being challenged because the day isn't the same as yesterday. It's constantly changing. So it was that they're experiencing the same issues with the transportation deficit of options for transportation, that they're experiencing difficulties with rail. Rail has gotten to the point now where it is more dependent on than it has in the past, and probably not in a position to be able to handle all of the demand it has because of old infrastructure, maintenance issues, employment issues. Do they have enough, engineers and people to work the rail? So that's become an issue. We think about it, how it affects us here in Buffalo, in our operation here at Sonwell, not realizing the port's got the same issues and probably at a larger scale with a little bit more significance because of it is happening there. We aren't even going to see it
until
it starts to happen at our place. That was the other. And then probably lastly is I was very impressed to see, and you've mentioned some of the people on the panel, there's a lot of strategic partnership discussions going on now, trying to understand each of our goals, aspirations sort of, and the challenges we're facing, and finding out that a lot of them are very common and maybe in a little different direction, because it's maybe not as severe as it is for one for the other, but it's still an issue. And if it could go away, we could all be better off for it. So it's the we're in it together kind of thing. The ports have always been that way. They've always had labor at the table. They've always had, various ocean container carriers and the container service providers at the table. They've had the trucking companies at the table. They still have them. But it was never so uniform a message.
Yeah.
It was never more of a consolidation of everybody's issues ending up being very similar for everybody. And I think those were the things that were, they were eye-opening, they're encouraging,
right?
And now we have at least a place to go. If we have a contact at the port, they have inroads to everyone else that fits into that world that they work and live in down there. So it's become a lot more that way. The other part of it is that I don't think that we've taken enough look at trade as a country and understood the implications of the regulations, whether it's tariffs, changes in policy and procedure, waiving certain costs, making exceptions to rules for certain and not for others, and in some cases commenting that we don't look to globalization as maybe the direction we should be as a country. In a world that's becoming more and more globalized,
right,
with the same issues, concerns, and challenges. So those were talked about, and I thought that was encouraging to hear. At least someone else is experiencing and seeing it, and there are some initiatives afoot to try to deal with some of those things.
And to just kind of expand on that, the focusing on the trucking industry, we talked a little bit about the electronic logbooks. We have a driver shortage here in the United States, tremendous driver shortage. Some of the points that came out from the president of the American Trucking Association, they're trying to get the age lowered to 18 to allow someone to drive a tractor trailer. They're trying to solve these problems. They're talking about the driverless, quote unquote, driverless trucks.
Correct.
Not in the way that we would think of a driverless vehicle. More of like you would think of an airplane with an automatic pilot. There's still going to be somebody in the seat, but a driverless truck with somebody there. So they're coming up with solutions. The question is, can they come up with them quick enough?
Right.
We're going to see an increase in rates, ocean rates. We've already seen an increase in trucking rates. That's going to continue. And capacity is down everywhere.
Right.
Capacity. And so that, at the end, puts the onus on the manufacturers, the onus on the shippers. They're going to pay the price, and ultimately the American consumer will pay the price,
right,
of increased rates. Let me cycle back to ITGO. Anything happening recently with the port that we can report on that's new and exciting with this? And how is it, we talked a little bit about the beginning. You talked about how it's going to connect Southern Ontario to New York, New Jersey. And what's new and exciting there?
I'm glad you brought that back. We have an event coming up on the 30th of this month that will be held at the Castle in Tonawanda. It's a border of the future, and the cast of characters are going to be from customs on both sides of the border, and we're going to have a lot of insight into the technology solutions that are being developed, tested, and ultimately will be implemented to streamline movement of people, goods, commercial, trucking. Everybody that's trying to cross that border, whether it's rail or whether it's a passenger car, or you're walking across the bridge. So they've thought about all the constituents, and I don't want to tip my hand and tell you what some of those are, but I would encourage you to take a look at making yourself available for that event. It's going to be an eye-opening about the future of the border, okay, which we all know has been an issue in doing anything cross-border.
Oh.
And we've got representation from a lot of manufacturers on the Canadian side, a lot of the broker community, the attorneys that are dealing with some of the regulatory issues. So it'll be a group of people that are practitioners dealing with this day in and day out, all trying to understand what are the solutions that are forthcoming and how they're going to help us, and what can we do to support getting them here sooner than later.
Right, because we've talked in the past about the thickening of the border with
Absolutely.
The regulations. How do we thin that out a little bit, make the process streamlined? Great. So where can our listeners go to register for that event, and what's the cost on that?
So the registration, you'd go to the International Trade Gateway website. The event is listed there. You can also reach out to me, and I'll give you my email address, jmanno@sonwil.com, sonwil.com. I'll be glad to get this out to you. The cost is you can be a sponsor and realize some savings, $40 per person to attend. There will be a trade show component to it, so exhibits from various service providers that support cross-border movement. And, of course, with the both governments being there represented, you'll have an opportunity to meet with those individuals who will be on the panel afterwards for networking.
Great, great. So I just want to recap here a couple of the takeaways. Capacity is going down. Transit times are going up. We're consolidating steamship companies, so there's going to be less choice there. Working on regulations, working on ways to solve the problems. Costs are going up. But we're kind of seeing a clear path through 2019 with a slowdown of the economy in 2020. Anything else you want to put out there, Jim?
Just workforce development. We are in such a strain as far as the qualified workforce that we need in all aspects of the supply chain. And with the entry of the online giants, you know, the Amazons, the ability for them to recruit and hire and train and pay, that's great for everyone, but it causes sometimes a competitive disadvantage if you're trying to hire that same person and there's so few of them around to hire.
Great, great. Well, Jim, thank you very much for coming in today and talking about Porte and it going, what's going on. One last time, that event that's coming up, the future of the border, is?
It's October 30th, and it'll be at the Castle.
Okay, and $40 to attend.
And just check it out on the website or
great.
Give me an email.
Excellent. If you have any questions that you'd like to answer, please email me, Damon, D-A-M-O-N, at Welke, W-E-L-K-E, USA.com. Or if you have suggestions for guests or episode content, again, email me at Damon, D-A-M-O-N, at Welke, W-E-L-K-E, USA.com. Well, thank you again, and this has been another episode of Trade Secrets. We look forward to talking to you next time.
This has been Trade Secrets, the podcast hosted by Damon Piatek, President and CEO of Welke Customs Brokers USA. Thank you for listening.